Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Enjoy the Spirit.
Praise God. Today I want us to look at one critical topic which I have touched as the warfare of perfect work of patience. The warfare of perfect works of patience. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
It's very important for us to really understand that patience has a perfect work.
Yes.
You can say you are patient and your patience is not perfect.
That's true.
And so we need to really look at it that even in this critical time when we are worrying, how do we exercise a perfect work of patience? Praise God.
Hallelujah.
One of the major warfare in which all and sundry, whether you are saved or you are not, is faced in life is temptation. We are faced with what? With temptation. We are engaged on daily basis on the warfare of temptation. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Satan has deliberately engaged us, especially those of us that are saved, with all kinds of temptations and all kinds of trials in which, if we are not careful, we fall into his trap. And so even when some think that they have not fallen into his trap, the patience that they exhibit during this trying period, is it a perfect patience? Because it's very, very important for us to understand this. Now, in one of the writings of the Paul, he said that the common thing to every one of us, whether father, whether children, whether young one, according to the book of John, 1 John chapter 1, whether you are a father, he was writing to the father, he was writing to the young one, he was also writing to the children. But one thing that is common to these three categories of people in the kingdom is temptation. Fathers have been tempted on daily basis. Children have been tempted on daily basis. The young ones are faced with temptations. So it's a common thing, and he was saying it in the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 10, when he was talking about, there's no temptation that is not as common unto all of you, but he has, in his own wisdom, give you a temptation that in which which is not about your strength. Praise God. So I want us to look at this issue of temptations and patience, because temptation and patience must go side by side. Praise God. Now, when we talk about temptation can be grouped into two. Can be grouped into two headings. We have the temptation that is as a result of the loss of flesh, and we have the temptation that is as a result of affliction of the flesh. I say that again. Temptation could be grouped into two categories. The temptation that comes as a result of loss of flesh, and the temptation that comes as a result of the affliction of flesh. Now, when we talk about the affliction of flesh, we will discover that it comes as a result of sickness, infirmities of the body. It also comes as a result of, torturing. For example, I give an example. If somebody falls into the hands of Boko Haram, and you are a believer, and you are taken away like that, and they ask you to deny Christ, and you say, no, I'm not, and they begin to torture you, they begin to afflict your body, they begin to do all kind of unpredictable things that could make you to give up your faith, what will you do? It's a temptation. So, but when we talk about the affliction of the body, it could come as a result of sickness. It could come as a result of oppression. It could come as a result of infirmities, etc., etc. So all of these things are temptation. Now, the example of affliction of the flesh is Job. We see Job as an example. But before we go there, I want us to open to the book of James chapter 1. We will read from verse 1 to 4, and we go to 12 to 15. So we look at this type of temptation. James 1, from verse 1, he said, blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of what? Of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. He said, let no man say, when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted. I'm reading verse 3 now. He said, let no man say, when he's tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. In verse 14, he said, but every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. That's the first group of temptation that I talk, lust of the flesh. You know, lust of the flesh, pride of life, etc., etc. It's not God that tempts you with that. You are tempted as a result of what is in you. And there is none among us that does not have this element of flesh and carnality in us, in which Satan can engage us and tempt us to see whether we are standing or we are not standing. Verse 15 says, 13 now, he said, let no man say when he's tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. Of his own lust. Sorry, I forgot my glasses at all. But verse 15, he said, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bring forth death. If you go to chapter 2 of James again, he was also talking about, okay, let me not go to that for now. So in other words, you see that when people are tempted in that realm, it's as a result of the lust of flesh and pride of life that is in him. Now, the intention of Satan when we are tempted is basically to bring us down. That is his basic intention. His intention is not to prove whether you are in the Lord. The intention of Satan is to bring us down, or to make us to be offended in God. To bring us into a place where we are offended in Christ. And you see, a lot of people, Christians, are falling into that trap. When they begin to say, when Moses started to say, Lord, touch me. Praise God. Say, Lord, touch me. When Moses started to say, Lord, touch me. That is the intention of Satan. His intention is for you to curse God and to abuse God and to say that God is not faithful. He's not interested in anything, but he just wants to tell you, or to prove to God that Look at Job. Let's look at Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1. From verse 8 to 10. If you find it, can you quickly read, please?
Job chapter 1, verse 8 to 10.
Yes.
I read. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job? There is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Does Job fear God for naught?
It's okay. Did you hear that? How can you tell me that Job will not fear you? You are blessed, Job. You have made him great. He now said that, thought all that he has, then see if Job will not be offended in you. And God said, okay, take everything that Job has, but spare his life. Look at 2, chapter 2,
okay.
From 4 to 5.
And Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin.
Did you hear that? Skin for skin.
Yea, all that a man has will he give for his life.
All that a man has will he give for his life. Skin for skin. All that a man has will he give for his life. Is that where? You have touched his property. That one does not make any meaning to Job. Job knew that he can always make more money. To make money is not a difficult thing to Job. That was Satan accusing him. But touch his skin. And that is what we call the affliction of the body. He says, skin for skin, a man will give whatever he has for his life. And so you see a lot of people, Christian believers, sad Christians, when they are oppressed in their flesh, they are afflicted in their body, you just see that all kinds of suggestions, there's one man somewhere who can cure you. There's one man somewhere who can heal you. All what he needed at that particular point in time is to find a way for relief. Praise God. It's a temptation. It's a temptation. So the intention of temptation is basically to bring you down or to promote you. There's a way a temptation brings a man down. There's a way in which temptation could bring another one down. Now, what exactly do we call temptation? Temptation is an urge, an intense pressure. It is an urge, an intense pressure to seek relief through an illegitimate means. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Temptation is an intense urge or pressure to seek relief from an illegitimate means, whether affliction of the body or loss of flesh. What is paramount at the point in time when a man is tempted is to seek relief through an illegitimate means. But there is a legitimate means in which we can seek relief. We look at that. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
But it is clear for us to understand that basically the essence of temptation is for you to seek relief from illegitimate means, from an unauthorized source. From an unauthorized source. For example, hunger is a need for a man. Sex is a need for a man. It's very, very important. To look good is a need for a man. To ride car is a need for a man. To live in a good house is a need for a man. All of these things are needs. And the truth is that these are legitimate needs. Who among us does not want to look good? But can we afford it? If we cannot afford it, are we tempted because of that lust of flesh to look good? For example, I want to wear shoes that I cannot afford. Praise God. So if you are not careful, you are going to be drawn. You are on into a pressure where you seek for shoe from illegitimate means. And let me quickly break it down. One of the ways that telling lies to your parents, especially those of us that are students, They ask us to buy our project is drawing there. In fact, it's 200 level. They want us to write project. It's just a practice. Praise God. Because of the money that you want to take to buy shoe from your parents, the certain lie is a temptation. You are seeking for shoe from an illegitimate source, from an illegitimate sin. You have allowed the pride of the lust of flesh to draw you into that. And if you are not careful, you will continue your life and you will continue to run your life like that. Praise God. Something more higher, because this thing will take you higher and higher. You are lusting for shoe today. Tomorrow, it will be a car. You lost for a car. Next tomorrow, it will be that you lost for a luxurious car. The next one, you begin to lust for women. So all of these things is what we need to consider, that though these are legitimate needs, but seeking for relief or seeking to have them through an illegitimate means, we are falling into temptation. Now, like I said, the affliction of the body includes sickness of the body. When you are going through an intense pain and unusual agony, look at what happened to Job. All kind of unprintable things that Job was saying. Job cursed the day he was born. Job cursed the womb that battered him. And at a point in time, of course, I won't blame the wife of Job. At a point in time, the wife of Job needed to advise him and said, curse God and die. Because this pain is too much. You can't continue to live like this. Curse God and die. And what that means is that go and commit suicide. Just go and kill yourself. And there are many people who have sought for relief through that means. Many may not physically use drug or use... you can imagine those who are taking snippers as a result of prayer needs in their life. And they take snippers to take their life, to seek for relief. It's as a result of affliction of soul. The affliction of soul. The intense need and urge for them to have something that they could not have at that particular point in time. And so they seek for relief through death. And that was exactly what the wife of Job was asking Job to do. And Job, thank God for Job. Job may not completely have a perfect, may not completely have an understanding or technology of, you know, of temptation, but we must give it to Job that he understood the perfect work of patience. Job understood the perfect work of patience. He was able to wait to the end. Some people would have killed themselves. Especially when he was faced with torture from all his friends and so on and so forth. Praise God. Another person who we can still look at is Peter. Many of us can easily say, Peter denied Christ. If you were Peter, will you not deny Christ? In the presence of the soldiers, of the stripe of Roman soldiers, will you not deny him? Will you still stay with Christ? He saw how this man was bleeding. He thought that Christ is going to rescue himself, but there wasn't anything like that. And he cannot go through that similar agony. So when they asked Peter, is you are one of them? Immediately he said, no, I don't know him. As a matter of fact, I am just a visitor. I am just a spectator here. I don't know Christ. Anybody can do that. Anybody can fall into that category. Therefore, except you are helped, except God himself intervened during the temptation, we are all victims. We are all victims. I now understand why Christ asked us to pray that prayer in the book of Matthew chapter 6, verse 13. He said, lead us not into temptation. Lead us not into temptation. Many have not come out of temptation. But deliver us from evil. Temptation is evil. All we could ask God is that God should help us, and we should not be led into temptation, and we should be daily delivered from all kinds of evil. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I want us to understand that temptation is a serious warfare which we engage on daily basis. Now, why do I call it a warfare? It's a warfare between the spirit and your mind. It's also a warfare between people around you and the decision you are taking at that particular point in time. The Holy Spirit will comfort you in the days of temptation. He said, oh, the Holy Spirit will say, don't worry. He's the healer. But your mind will tell you that if he is the healer, why is it that I have not been healed? If God truly is the healer, I've been on this sickness for many months. I don't know what happened to Sharibu, that girl that could not deny Christ. But I know that at a point in time, our patience win out. Our patience win out. And the man that was beheaded was another kind of person that we should also emulate. Look at that man. They asked him that, look, we are ready to release you. All we want you to do is to do a life broadcast and deny Christ. How many of us can stand it? How many of us can stand it? But the man insisted. I read the story of a particular man. I think it was on WhatsApp, whether on WhatsApp or on Facebook, who was tormenting his captors. Give your life to Christ. Give your life to Christ. With all beating. He said, give your life to Christ. Give your life to Christ. At a point in time, he was eventually released. We thank God for that kind of grace. But how many of us can, and listen, if we cannot stand at the daily temptation that we engage ourselves, that Satan engages us with, how are we going to overcome this big temptation? So, the mind of a man, the flesh of a man, is the battleground for temptation, and Satan is the tempter. The mind of a man, the flesh of a man, these are the weapons that Satan used to tempt us. And Satan is who? Is the tempter. Is the one who tempts us. A lot of suggestions. This is just about it. You know, I remember when Dario was having issue with his car, all kind of temptation, all kind of suggestion would have gone through his mind. People that he needed to call, people that maybe they are illegitimate call, all kind of things. It goes on like that. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
It goes on like that. So temptation is something that is far from God. It's something that we deal with on daily basis. It's something that we handle on daily basis. Why work is done, is being done this morning, many of us must have gone through temptation. In this COVID, many of us have gone through all kinds of temptation. So, the battleground is your soul and your flesh. Your mind is the weapon of war. Satan is the tempter with the intention to bring offense. And that offense is to offend God. He doesn't want you to offend God. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Listen to this. When a man steals, when a man is in need and he steals, he's not justified until penalty is applied. I'll say that again. When a man is in need and he steals, that man is not justified until judgment sits. Until judgment sits. It doesn't matter whether you have repented or you have not repented. This is the truth. And this thing, we need to understand the technology of God. How God deals with us as sons. How he deals with us as children. fine. You have offended, you have asked him, Lord, I'm sorry. But he does not want you to continue. That's why in the book of Hebrews he said, every disobedience has a just recompense of what? Of reward. Every disobedience has a just recompense of reward. That reward may not be immediate. It may be sometimes later. But surely the reward will come. And you may not know when you are receiving the reward of falling into that kind of temptation. Praise God. You may not know. Because God is a God of justice and is a God of just judgment. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Now, the reason why that man sins is not far away from the fact that he has not recognized God as his ultimate source. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
And basically, that was the major reason why we fall into temptation. Because we have not recognized God as our ultimate source of help. As our ultimate source who can assist or give us our need. And of course, even when we recognize, we are not patient enough to wait for his time. He says, your thought is not my thought, neither your way is my way. As heaven is far away from the earth, so your thought is far away from mine. So in other words, if you are in a hurry, if you are not patient enough, if you are in a hurry to have what you think you need at that particular point in time, you are likely to fall into temptation. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
So seeking God, seeking relief from illegitimate source is what we need to deal with. Listen, please, if you are not going to remember anything, always remember this. That we need relief. But our relief must not be from Satan. Our relief must not be from illegitimate source. Whether you are tempted with it, with lust, praise God. Like I said, there's no man among us, everybody among us that are men, even women among us. We need sex. But can we wait till when we arrive for it? Especially students. Even workers or married people. Can you wait until you arrive for it? Can you exercise a little patience and wait on God and trust him that, oh, this thing that I am looking for, I will have them. So, but when we now begin to cut corners, we begin to cut corner on this aspect, we have completely fallen into the temptation of Satan. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Like I said, in temptation you can say many unpleasant things against people around you. Ah, my uncle did not help me. He's wicked. Because you're in need. My father is not doing what he's supposed to do. I don't know what my dad is doing. I don't know what my mom is doing. You can say all kind of things. Temptation is a pressure. What temptation does is to put you into an intense pressure. And if you are not careful, if you don't understand the technology of temptation or the one intention of temptation that is to put you into a place of offense, you begin to say unpleasant things about God, about people. You don't know what is going through. My junior brother called me yesterday. I was so happy because I've not heard about him for more than 5-7 years. My sibling, our last born. I said, thank God, you called me today. I am blessed. So he said, I called you because I needed money. I was so angry. I was very, very angry. I said, am I your ATM? I'm not your ATM. My daughter was getting married, you didn't come. You are not part of the people who helped. And I learned how you are spending money in Ibadan. You now have, you say you are, see, I said, when I pray that God will heal you, that's the only thing I can give you for now. He said, I know you won't give me. I said, from you? You know I won't give you. I said, have you forgotten that you borrowed 200,000 naira from your senior sister? That, go and ask her. I was the one who paid that money back. He said, they didn't tell me. I said, it's because you are stupid. I just banged the phone on him. Why am I bringing this thing up? He would have said all kind of unpredictable things. Of course, he said it to me. He said, I know you won't give me. So after I dropped, he said, that my brother is stingy. He said, and he's rich, oh. Am I rich? In Christ, I am. In Christ, I am. Praise God. Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
But the fact is that I don't even have money to give him. But he will say all kinds of things, and he would have sinned against God. Because he didn't know my present pocket. The same thing with all each and every one of us.
Yes,
we ask for help. Somebody is not giving help. And you think that he's in position to give help. And you begin to curse. You begin to abuse. You begin to call him all kinds of names. Let's look at Job. Job chapter 6.
Verse
1. We start reading from verse 1.
But Job answered and said, oh, that my grief were thoroughly weighed, and my calamity laid in the balances together.
Can you hear that? What was he saying? God did not know the extent of my pain. God does not understand the weight of what I am going through. Even my friend, you cannot understand my present predicament. He said, oh, that my grief were thoroughly weighed, and my calamity laid in the balances. Verse 3. Read.
For now it would be heavier than the sand of the sea.
Can you see? Can you see life? Is it true that his pain is heavier than the sand of what? Of the sea. It's not so. The Bible said in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10 that I said, he said, I will not tempt you beyond your power. So the temptation that God has given unto Job is sufficient for his strength. And the same thing with each and every one of us. Even when God permits us to go through temptation, it's not beyond what we can cope. It's not beyond what we can overcome. But we saw what Job was saying here. He said, for the arrows of the Almighty are with me. Olorun lo talofa. This is where people get off out. Praise God. He said, but the arrow of the Almighty are with me. Is that true? It's the arrow of Satan. Why? Because God made a boast of him. He said, touch his property. He touched his property. Job did not offend God. Job did not see it as a big deal, but flesh for flesh, skin for skin. What a man has, he will give for his life. When it comes to the issue of flesh, that's why Yoruba will say, Tinaba Joni, Tojpa Lomoni, Tareni Lakomu. Can you imagine that wickedness? Praise God. Because your flesh, your skin, you will do everything possible to protect it. Let anything pass through here now. Even as I am preaching now, I will protect myself. Do you understand? So he now begins to say all kinds of unpredictable things. He said, for the arrow of the Almighty are with me. The poison whereof drinketh up my spirit. The terror of God do set themselves in array against me. Why? Because Job did not understand the technology of this temptation. The technology of this temptation is for him to be lifted. It's for him to be promoted. I want us to know that when we are going through trials, this kind of trials, get set for promotion. Get set for lifting. You are going through an hunger. You are going through sorrow. You are going through denial. You are going through certain pain. God is about to remember you. God is about to open door for you. Of course, by the special grace of God, I have seen all kinds of trials in my life. I met with somebody that I brought to a former church where I was coming last week. The guy has seen me about three occasions, and he was trying to talk, but he could not. But this time around, I was doing some shopping, and he saw me together with the wife, and he passed. I could not recognize him again. He said, "Ah, Pastor Bello, you don't remember me again." I said, "Okay, that should be so-so place." He said, "Yes." He said, "Ah, what happened? You are looking good, you are looking great, this and that." And then he began to remind me of certain things. I said, "Ah, I've gone beyond that." He said, "Yes, I can see it. I can see it." Now, the intense pressure, the intense denial, the intense pain that I went through that time was enough for me to go through an illegitimate means to have a relief. But by God, help me to stand my ground. And today, I overcame. And he started telling me, he said, "Ah, thank God for you." I said, "Are you still in that place?" He said, "No, I have left." I said, "I'm happy for you. I'm happy for you that you have left." He said, "Sir, it's a great deliverance." I said, that was my own expression too when I left, that God has finally delivered me. I'm happy that God has delivered you too. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
But at that point in time of temptation and trial, it looked as if life will come to an end. It looked as if the whole world has collapsed. Your world has not collapsed in temptation. As a matter of fact, what is happening to you is that God is redigging and rebuilding your world. A new world is being reconstructed for you.
Amen.
So you don't get worried in the days of temptation. So, but we look at Jesus. The Lord Jesus' temptation is the standard and the pattern which we most daily adopt when we are going through the temptation. The book of Luke chapter 4. Let's look at what should be our approach towards temptation. Luke 4. You can read from verse 2 to 8. Yes.
"Being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterwards hungered."
Now, please, I want you to take note of verse 1. The Lord Jesus Christ made up his mind that he's going to fast for 40 days. Abi? And 40 nights. It was after the fast has ended that Satan came. It was not in the midst of the fast. When the fast has ended, Satan show up. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
And the first thing he said is that, "And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command the stone that it be made bread." There is nothing that is illegal if he hates bread at the end of his fasting. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
But there are issues with that bread. There's a lot of issues with that bread. Thank God for the wisdom of Christ. Thank God for the understanding of Christ. Thank God because he understood the technology of fasting. He knew that eating bread is a death sentence. Somebody who has not ate for 40 days and for 40 nights, the first thing for him to eat was not bread. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
If Satan had asked him, "Can you command this stone to become water and drink it?" Do you understand? But he was saying, "Eat bread." And that is why a lot of people die in the process of fasting. 40 days and 40 nights, and the next food you want to eat is pounded yam. A lot of people have bidded this word goodbye. You can't eat solid things at that point in time. He knew that this is not from God, this is Satan. He knew that it doesn't work like that. And so he understood that the temptation is a satanic trap. And of course we should learn from this, because at every point in time of our temptation time, the first thing that we need to line up is that, is this in agreement with norms? Is this in agreement with norms? And when I'm talking about norms, I am not talking about vogue. Something that is in vogue. the word vogue. There's a word vogue. There's a scriptural vogue. Praise God. There's a standard. Each time, at a point in time of our life, God raised standards. God raised a vogue for us in the church. He gave us certain things in vogue. For example, there are certain songs that are in vogue. I remember in the 80s, Ron Kennelly's song was the song. If you are not singing Ron Kennelly's song, you are not there. Praise God.
Amen.
So if they're asking you to sing any song at that particular point in time, you will look at it, it's not a song of Zion. Praise God. Is this in vogue? You line it up. Is this in vogue? So Christ knew that what Satan was asking him to do was wrong. And you should understand that. Especially when a suggestion comes at a period of temptation, you will understand whether it is right or not. You know it. It's not as if you don't know it. You know it. You deliberately fall into it. So Christ said that, yes, I am hungry. But the devil said unto him, and Jesus answered him and said, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone. Wisdom. He was not even telling him that the implication of that bread, if I eat the bread, is that I will die. He wasn't telling him. He was using scriptures. Now remember that this is the same trap that destroyed people in the wilderness. And it's the same trap that you are setting up for me now. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth. That is the food of man. The word of God is the food of man. In the days of trials and temptation, the food to solve for relief is the word of God. The food for relief is the word of God. The food for relief is praise and worship. You can go into the season of worship. You can go into the season of praise. Those are the food. Those are the technology. Those are the things that you need to adopt. It's not what your mind is telling you. Your mind cannot be right. Your mind is not pure. Praise God. In the days of temptations, Satan infiltrates our mind and brings all kinds of suggestions. Men infiltrate our mind and bring all kinds of suggestions. Praise God. People that are close to you infiltrate our mind and bring all kinds of suggestions. They tell us, do it this way, do it that way, do it this way. Praise God. And if we are not careful, we are likely to fall into that trap. So we look at the technology of the word of God and apply it. Things that God has prescribed for us as solutions. And the devil takes him up into the high mountain. Ele is clear. Do you understand? This one is clear. It's so clear to Satan, to Jesus that no, this is, I know it's Satan. The first one may not look very slippery. Do you understand? It looks very slippery. But this one is obvious. He said, and devil take him into the high mountain, shew unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give to you. All this power. He does not have that power. Even Satan. Okay. Hello. He doesn't have that power. Why will you give what you don't have? He has power over some people, but not on all people. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
He has power over certain kingdoms, but he does not have power in the kingdom of Christ. And the kingdom of Christ is on the earth. So he knew that he was lying. All you need to do is to take a bow. And he said, no, you are not my God. You are not the one who will give me this. Can you tell Satan the same thing in the days of your trial and temptation? Can you tell him that you are not my God? You can't tell me what to do. You can't suggest the way out of this problem. You can't suggest the way out of relief, out of this relief. I know how to go about it. Christ is sufficient for me. Praise God. So you really need to stand your ground. And listen, what will keep you standing is when the word of God is in you. That's why the Bible says that let the word of God dwell in you richly. In all understanding. Because if you don't, if you quote the word that you don't understand, Satan knew that you don't understand it. Praise God. So we see that. We see that technology of Christ. We need that technology of Christ. And that is the technology that we really need to adopt on a daily basis when we go through temptations and trials. Temptation is real. We go through it on a daily basis. There is none of us. You ride a car on the road. You can imagine I got into that point. And I was asking Okada man, please, how do I get to that place? And the man wanted to extort me. You know, the first thing that came to me was anger. I said, thank you. I find my way. It was a temptation I would have said, only here. Do you understand? It's easy to say. It's not far from our mouth. It's not far from our mind. It's always there in our mouth and in our mind. It's easy to say. It's easy to quickly fall into that kind of temptation. And if it's those little things, it starts with those little things, I would have said, only near. Praise God. Well, I just say thank you very much. I can't give that kind of money for this short trip because I know the terrain. Oh, I found my way. In fact, when I eventually came to the front, I said it's even better. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
So you have to restrain yourself. It's a deliberate effort. Praise God. Now, I've spoken about this issue of, you know, the temptation of the lust of flesh. But I also want you to know that, of course, we can also divide this thing into two. The nature of sin. The nature of sin is generic in all of us. Even my little Feidara, you can see that when Feidara wake up, she kick you. Do you understand? She kick you. He wants an attention. Yes. He will just kick you. It's a nature. She doesn't know whether it's right or wrong, but it's a nature. She inherited it. It's an Adamic nature. And it's generic. Whether you lie or you are not, whether you're a liar or you are not a liar, you are a sinner before God. It's generic. It doesn't matter whether you're a moralist or you are an immoral person. It's a generic thing. Of course, the solution to that is the book of Romans chapter 10, verse 11. Please, can you quickly read that? Romans 10, 11. You can read from verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth that the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in him, in your heart, that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be what? Thou shalt be saved. That's the recipe for that, for the nature of sin. Praise God. But the question is this. Are we completely delivered? Are we completely secured? In other words, there's another aspect. Of sin, which we need to take note of. And that is what we call genetic traits. Genetic what? Traits. There are certain things that you brought from your parents. Even when you are saved, you still see those things. Whether positive or negative. It's an inborn thing. You didn't inherit that from Adam. You inherit it from your parents. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
And of course, many people have accepted it as a way of life. Because I'm in the same family 1 year, it doesn't make any difference to them. But that's the way I am brought up. The kind of environment in which you are brought up also cultivate that trait. A child that is brought up from Bajegunle, we always sing reggae or pop song. Praise God. You see them. That you go to Ajegunle. I live a little bit in Ajegunle. You see them. Anybody can sing in Ajegunle. Anybody can sing in Ajegunle because that's their trait in Ajegunle. It's the environment, the way they were brought up. Praise God. People will always behave like Ajegunle. If you are brought up in the gutter, you will behave like that. Now, until when you relive your life, until when you relive your life, you need to relive your life. You need to reintegrate your life and come into another. That's why the Bible says that forsake not the fellowship of the saints. Because it is the fellowship of the saints that will rub on you and erase the genetic trait from you. You begin to behave like people are behaving. Oh, in this place they don't make noise. You don't make noise. And you get used to it. In this place they don't fight. And you don't fight. How many people is fighting in the church? Everybody told you that church in here is the committee. Do you understand? And those genetic things is always there until you do something, deliberately do something about it. There is nobody that does not have genetic traits in our lives. Praise God. I spoke about my own and I said, no, I don't want to live the way my father lived. I want to live differently. And there was a point in time in my life when I was praying about it and I noticed that the spirit was departed from me like in a bodily form. And that was what brought my deliverance. Otherwise, I would have lived like a leech. So you are saved. It is not true that you are not saved. But the way you are brought up, that genetic trait is still working in you. Now, you can see the examples scattered all over the scripture. You see what happened to Abraham, happened to Isaac. Is that not true? What happened to Isaac also happened to Judah later in life. You can see Judah. All of them. This is what we call genetic traits. And when you are saved, you must deliberately deal with this issue of genetic. It's a warfare. You just have to complete war against it. And no. I'm going to be different. I'm going to live a life that is quite different from where I came from. And I'm not going to live like them. Praise God. Because it's an inherited nature of your parents. It's the way you are brought up. The character of the family. Come and see. Two girls, they fought. Young girls, they are in primary three in my school. And they fought themselves. They brought them to me. I don't know why. The only thing just said, don't beat them. Just talk to them. And I spoke to them. I said, hug yourself. You know what? The other guy said, no, I'm not going to hug her. I said, you are not going. He said, no. There is nothing I said. The girl insisted. He said, I'm not going to hug her. And I took note of that girl. I said, what's happened with this? That me, the professor of the school, asked you to hug. He said, no, I've forgiven him, but he's not my friend. I'm not going to hug her. About 3 weeks later, the parents came. And the parents were telling the offense that I offended him, were telling me. He said, that's why I have not been coming to your PTA meeting. What was my offense? I said, you should come and do a work for me in the house. But unfortunately, at that point in time, I don't have money to do the work. And I have also forgotten about him. So I didn't call him. This guy has me in mind. Immediately he said that, I said, okay, I understand where your daughter is coming from. He said, what did I say? I said, I now told him the story. He said, Kusomali. I said, you have problems in your family. You have unforgiving spirit. And I'm going to drive that foul spirit from her with kids. Or you take her away from this school. I said, a little girl asked her to hug the person that she was the one who hugged that girl. He said, no, I'm not. I said, okay, this is where. And I began to talk to the man. You can see the issue of genetic traits. Every one of us need to deal with it. We have to war against it. We have to deliberately fight it until we overcome it. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
But in this context, what do you need? You need an apostle. When I mean an apostle, I'm not talking of apostle in quotes. That it must be an ordained. Somebody who will reconstruct your life. Somebody will reconfigure your life. And one of the ways of doing it is to live where you are and live with the person. I don't know whether you understand. For example, I don't know, are you living here now? You are living here now. Within the time that, within the short period of time, you will discover that certain things would have rubbed off on him in such that he might begin to behave like, just saying this. Okay? He might learn one or two things. Okay, this is how this thing is done. Oh, okay, this is how I should behave. Okay, this is how I should talk to people. Okay, this is how I should address issues. Oh, this is, you need to leave your previous environment where that genetic trait is inculcated on you. Listen, I don't want to go into this, but I was telling somebody, I said, it goes beyond church. The person was telling me, he said, thank God my wife survived in London. I said, check the life of your wife. He said, that the Holy Spirit, I said, thank God Holy Spirit helped him. Thank God church also helped him, help her. But it's more than that, it's the family thing. That look at our family. He said, Utonio, Muri Yeso, Ope Yahweh Jadi Numoto. And when he called the wife, he said, is that at the point in time I was contemplating that I'm going to kill myself if this man does not allow me to come back to Nigeria? Because my mother will disown me, my father will disown me if I have another man. It's a family thing. Do you understand? It's a family thing because there is no divorce in their family. There is no trait of that. They don't do that. They don't operate like that. So there's a need for you to shift and look at, this thing is not working in this lineage. I need to create another lineage for myself. It's a deliberate effort. Church cannot do that for you. You have to do it yourself. You will suffer. You will endure it. Praise God. Let me quickly talk about the perfect work of patience. It's not going to take me more than 3-4 minutes. Number one, endurance without complaint. Endurance without what? Complaint. Listen, people live where people departed from the place where life would have profited them because they lack endurance. Praise God. And those who have endurance, they complain. The pastor said he delayed you. The pastor Bello delayed you. Can you come? They will abuse you. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
They will say all kinds of things. Can you endure without complaint? If your endurance is with complaint, then your patience is not perfect. Your patience is not perfect. You are in school. Can you endure without complaint? If everything you complain, your patience is imperfect. And God desires us to have a patience that is perfect. He's looking for a patient that is perfect. He's not looking for a patient that is imperfect. Murmuring is an imperfect patient. They ask you to do something, and you are murmuring. Praise God.
Amen.
And I keep on telling fathers, I said, if you leave your children to train your house help or to train people who live with you, you are building those people up to take over your estate. That's the truth. You pamper your own children, and the other children, you are asking them to do all kinds of things that you can't ask your children to do. You are training those children to take over your home. I am a living witness. I have gone through it before when I was brought up under an intense oppression. When that man, when my auntie was dying, he called me. She called me. She died on my lap. And she said, that house, you decide who lives there. But even now, I did not ask for it. I did not even bother about it. I remember we went for 30th anniversary of my auntie in January. Was it January 6th? I went to Ibadan for the anniversary. And I got into that house. I just went around. and so on and so forth. I didn't understand that communication. And I went around the house and I looked at and I opened the room. I said, what happened to this room? He said, your auntie said we should. That is your room. And I said, you are so stupid. That since 30 years you didn't allow anybody to enter this room. That come and see the. He said, no, you know the will of a death. I said, no, it's not true. Even when I go to bed, I've never slept for work in that house. Maybe because he just looked at it and said, oh, I've suffered it. I was the one who would wash their pants, who would do all kinds of things for the children, and so on. At the end of the day, the gap between us is not much. I was the one who would look for admission for them. So all of these things are very important. You live with somebody, you have to murmur. They are training you. It's just for you. For a while, you will pass through it. You will. Mommy, don't you give that example of how you are tortured, how you are changed. Is it not useful to you now? It's a passive trader, because he was taught, and they were doing wickedness to her, but they don't know that they were helping her, building her future. I remember she told me a story of a woman who tortured her. She was sick. Even the children were not there for her. She was the one who went there. Abi. So when you live with somebody and they ask you to do this, your mom is in the corner. They wake you up. You find it very extremely difficult. You think that somebody is wicked. No, it's not wickedness. It's not wickedness. It was 2 days ago. I said, I just sensed by the Spirit. I said, you people are gossiping about me in this house. I was asking them. I said, I just sense it. I said, you people are gossiping about me in this house. And Pete said, it's only to know that you to mimic you. That you have not done it. You have not done it. I said, today is that. He said, yes. But tomorrow, today, we come up and say, thank God I live with this man. She's so smart. I was saying this yesterday that I don't know what I can do without that boy in the house. So smart. She knew what I needed at the point in time. And she will do it perfectly and so on. Because she's lazy. The lazy boy. Yes, it is. But when we see it.
You have to look at that.
No, but when you call today and say, today, I need this. He knew the kind of thing that I'm asking for. I don't need to tell him that this is it. He will give me the perfect thing. He will do it in such a way that it will be very attractive. I can't ask anybody to come and... When I ask him for a spoon, he has a way of presenting spoon to me. Others doesn't do that. And I feel good about it.
It's a piece, you're in trouble.
And I feel good about it. It's a training. All of this thing is just for a while. You will overcome. When you become your own master, you will thank God for living in that place. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Hallelujah. So you must not murmur. When you murmur during temptation, your patience is incomplete, imperfect. Let me conclude with the book of Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5. Can you start reading from verse 19 or so? Verse 19.
Now the works of the flesh are manifest. Which are they? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness.
See, all of these things are inheritance. And so loju kokoro, o ti le nikan to loju kokoro family won. You understand? It's an inheritance thing. This one is not nature of sin. It's not just, it's in Adam. You didn't inherit this from Adam. Adam commit adultery? Did Adam commit lasciviousness? Kolojukokoro. But it's because you have somebody in your family who is like that. You can imagine, there's a man very close to us that, I said, I can't have this kind of children. And I will not say it though. I want to sit down with my children, look at them, Uncle Wale. And I just look at it that, and when somebody was telling me that, Babe, Feya Umewa Munuke, this is where the problem is. You understand? It's a trait, it's a genetic trait. All of these things are genetic traits. Please read on.
Idolatry, verse 20.
Yes.
Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresy, envy, murder, drunkenness, reviling, and such like, of which I tell you before.
Do you see all of these things are genetic? You come from a drunkard. Your father is a drunkard. You are likely to smoke Igbo. I'm telling you. But when you don't have people in that family, even when you are doing it, I watched a movie. It was a film. That film was acted by the Nollywood. That film is was it the Castles or something? You know, the pastor, the father was a pastor, the mother was also a missionary, and they were doing great work. But this boy did not believe in the works of their father. He didn't believe in eternity. Why? He said hypocrisy. There's a lot of hypocrisy. And where did he see this hypocrisy? In school fellowship. He said, this is not compatible with what I learned at home. The way this echo are living, that's not the way they should live. It's not the woodrow, it's not the woman Zion that acted this. He said, I can't cope. I don't understand. So he was not a bad boy, but he was not a good boy. You understand? Lukewarm. So, but at a point in time, he was looking for a job, he could not get a job, he got frustrated, he went into depression, and the way out of it was to begin to smoke. But when he was smoking, he will have to hide himself in the toilet. I love the father. The father caught him one day, he said, today you are leaving my house. Of course, the mother dare not beg. Because he knew the stand of the husband. He said, today you are leaving my house. He said, and the boy said, this is the first time I'm doing it. And honestly, that was the first time. He said, yes, it's the first time and that will be the last time. You are in my house, so you will want to take ganja, take it outside. Not in my house. I said, go. They begged this man. He was not. He said, no, you are leaving. They begged and begged. He said, no, you are leaving. The boy now made a request. He said, okay, daddy, can you give me just 2 weeks? I don't have friends to live with. You can see, that's why I said the boy is not good and he's not bad. You know, if he's a bad boy, he said, he will just say to her, he's a graduate already. He said, daddy, can you give me 2 weeks and watch me if I will change? The sister, they have 2 kids. The sister who was the junior sister, now said, the sister has been begging the father, he said, I want to go for missionary work. It's one missionary work that I want. The father said, no, why do you want to do missionary work? He said, which university? He said, I want to go to Ora Robert University. He said, to go and do what? He said, to go and study theology. He said, what do you want to do with theology? He said, the man said, what are you doing with theology? He said, no, I didn't read theology in school. I'm a court minister. He said, yes, I have a calling, but I want to be deeper than you. He said, no, you can't learn that in theology. He said, daddy, Ora Robert University is quite different from other universities. I've Googled them, and I know what they are doing there. Let me go to Ora Robert. The father will not allow the girl to go to her robot. Praise God. But this girl did something. He said, daddy, give my brother 2 weeks. And let's see a change. Now, within that 2 weeks, this boy began to soup. I brought shame to my family. I brought regret to my family. Why? Because he didn't see anybody of such. Do you understand? So all of these things are inherited, they are traits, they are genetic traits. If somebody who is committing adultery, a keki babe or mame. And we have to come out of them. That's why the Bible says, come out of them. Is it a little thing that God asked Abraham to leave his father's house, his kindred? When you see people who are living moral life, they are not saved because their family also live a moral life. It's easy, it's hereditary, it's genetic. Praise God. So, we must conclude with this, that our patience must be perfect. If our patience is imperfect, we we have an imperfect work of patience. And God is asking us to have a perfect work of patience, so that at the end of the day, we will inherit salvation and we will overcome our temptation. I'm praying for everybody this morning. And I'm asking God that God is going to spare you from this warfare. I don't know which one is your own, but I know that there are people who are going through one thing, one warfare or the other. Many of their own is malice, because they saw it in their parents. They saw it where they are coming from. And it has become their habit and their character. I'm asking that the Almighty God will deliver you.
Amen.
In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Some may be fornication. Some may be lying. Lying spirit is a spirit. I'm asking God to deliver and to save you from lying tongue. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I'm asking that the Lord God of glory, because you have confessed Him as the Lord of you have confessed Him as your Lord and your Savior, I'm asking that He will take you into the place of reconfiguration.
Amen.
Where He will renew your heart.
Amen.
In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He's asking, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Being born again is a renewal of mind. It's a renewal of soul. It's a conversion. I'm asking that the Lord God of heaven will bring conversion to your soul.
Amen.
In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Where we have shortcomings, every one of us, we plead for mercy.
Amen.
That the Lord will have mercy on us.
Amen.
He will save us from our shortcomings.
Amen.
He will deliver us from temptation.
Amen.
As many that are going through temptation today, whether temptation of sickness or affliction of the body, I'm asking the God of heaven to bring deliverance.
Amen.
Let there be deliverance.
Amen.
Let there be salvation.
Amen.
In the name of the Lord Jesus
Amen.
Christ, your sickness is remitted.
Amen.
Your affliction is remitted.
Amen.
In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Thank you, dear Father.
Amen.
Blessed be to the name of the Lord.
Amen.
In Jesus Christ's name we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many Spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocese every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.